Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, the 24th of November, an investigation is launched after police are filmed violently dismantling a migrant camp in the French capital, Paris. The annual festival of the Virgin of Guadalupe is cancelled in Mexico due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And we look ahead to this weekend's consistory, in which Pope Francis will create 13 new cardinals. In the Vatican, I'm Lydia O'Kane. France's interior minister ordered an internal police investigation Tuesday after officers were filmed tossing migrants out of tents while evacuating a makeshift camp in Paris. Stephen Boss reports that the violence came ahead of a crucial vote on filming security forces that critics say could limit press freedom.
Violence in the streets of Paris. Police dismantle a makeshift migrant camp in the heart of the French capital. Security forces clash with desperate migrants and activists. Police later used tear gas while chasing people through the streets. And riot police used batons to hit some of them. The homeless migrants make clear they are now forced to live on the streets.
We don't have any place to live, we don't have any place to sleep, and it's too necessary for us in this weather and this the winter is coming, it's getting cold, and we need somewhere to sleep.
Volunteers had joined them. Linking arms, the crowd, several hundred strong, could be heard chanting, "Papers for all, accommodation for all," when police moved in. As the evacuation began, there was a nationwide outcry. Even Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin described some images of the evacuation filmed by journalists and activists as shocking. He ordered an internal police investigation into what he called certain incidents. The minister promised to make the results public. Aid groups and the government are trying to find temporary lodging for migrants forcibly removed from the short-lived camp at the Place de la République in eastern Paris. But it won't be easy. The violence came ahead of a vote in the French Parliament on Tuesday on a controversial security bill. Opponents say it could undermine the media's ability to investigate police behavior. France has seen massive demonstrations this year against police brutality and alleged racism. Article 24 of the bill would make it a criminal offense to post images of police or soldiers on social media, which are deemed to target them as individuals. If the legislation is adopted, violators could face 1 year in prison and a €45,000 fine. For Vatican Radio, Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
After weeks of defiance, President Donald Trump has allowed officials to proceed with a transition to President-elect Joe Biden, giving his Democratic rival access to briefings and funding, even as he vowed to persist with efforts to fight the election results. Trump, a Republican, has alleged widespread voter fraud in the November 3rd election without providing evidence. Although he has not acknowledged Biden's victory, his announcement was the closest he has come to admitting defeat. The United Nations Human Rights Chief voiced alarm on Tuesday at reports of a heavy buildup of tanks and artillery around the Tigrayan regional capital of Mekele after the Ethiopian government's ultimatum to surrender before a threatened attack. Michelle Bachelet, UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, called on all sides to give clear and unambiguous orders to their forces to spare civilians in line with international law. After two minors were injured in a police-involved shooting at a foster home in Chile, Archbishop Fernando Chomely of Concepcion has highlighted some of the social, moral and political challenges faced by the South American country. Father Benedict Mayaki has more.
Archbishop Fernando Chomely of Concepcion has denounced the shooting of two minors by a police officer at a residence for minors in state care on Wednesday. According to news sources, two Chilean police officers were called in to the Carlos Macera foster home in Tahualcano to accompany an ambulance carrying a child with a medical emergency. Upon arrival, the officers were attacked with stones and, in retaliation, one of them shot his service weapon several times, hitting and injuring the two minors. Reflecting on the shocking incident, Archbishop Chomali published a set of reflections highlighting the need for rethinking the country's response to the plight of vulnerable citizens. First on his list of reflections, Archbishop Chomali denounced the injustice present in the country's public health system, which makes the quality of health care received depend on the economic resources available. He lamented that despite great efforts, Chile's health system does not have the sufficient capacity to attend to serious health cases. The Archbishop also stressed the importance of having trained personnel with specific competencies among the ranks of the forces of order and public security to help with emergencies such as the one that required the presence of the officers at the foster home. He noted that the entrance of armed personnel to the residents where there were vulnerable children demonstrates the absence of adequate protocols for complex situations and a poor knowledge of the reality of the minors living there. In addition, the Archbishop decried the indifference of society to the care of children in vulnerable situations who end up in foster homes, often through the courts. Describing the children and the adolescents as forgotten ones, he called on authorities to provide specialized attention to children under 18 years of age. Finally, the Bishop called for an investigation into the shooting incident and insisted that those responsible be brought to justice as appropriate under the rule of law. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
The church and the government of Mexico City have combined to cancel the popular annual festival of the Virgin of Guadalupe in the capital to protect the faithful from the increasingly encroaching pandemic. James Blair's reports.
The Virgin of Guadalupe festivals on December the 12th each and every year. It draws tens of thousands of pilgrims who converge here from all over the city, from throughout the country, and also from all over the world to honour and cherish the patron saint of Mexico. The event culminates at the huge modern basilica built right next to the old traditional heavyset colonial style building, which is slowly tilting and sinking into the soft substrata lake bed, which makes Mexico's city so prone, vulnerable, and susceptible to earthquakes. Many pilgrims painstakingly travel long distances on their knees as a sign of devotion and asking for forgiveness for sins via this penitence. However, this year, mindful of the COVID-19 pandemic, which has killed more than 100,000 people in Mexico and infected more than a million, Mexico's Bishops Conference of the Administration of Mexico City has decided that the event must be moved online. In an official statement, the Bishops Conference explains the health situation that Mexico is experiencing due to COVID-19 doesn't allow us at this time to celebrate the Virgin of Guadalupe ceremony at her shrine. The closure will span December the 10th to the 13th, and just to make sure this will be observed, a security barrier is being built to ensure strict compliance, although this will be a huge disappointment to many who annually and devotedly make the traditional pilgrimage. Our Lady of Guadalupe dates back to 5 apparitions which happened in 1531, and an image of the cloak is located in the Basilica, which is the most visited Catholic pilgrimage site in the world. The Virgin of Guadalupe appeared to Juan Diego, speaking to him in his indigenous Nahuatl language, asking him to build a church to her on this site. Pope Leo X granted the image at coronation on October 12, 1895. For Vatican News, James Blair's reporting.
As the world prepares to mark the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, organisations are lining up to decry the plight of one third of women across the globe. One Catholic organisation in Spain laments this staggering statistic and says societies cannot continue to ignore violence against women. Devon Watkins has the story.
Wednesday marks the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, which seeks to raise awareness of what the UN calls a shadow pandemic. The Spanish NGO Manos Unidas, or Hands United, joined its voices to those of many others to decry the situation in which countless women find themselves. Societies cannot remain indifferent to abuse and violence, according to Ricardo Loy, the Secretary General of the Catholic Organization. He said, "We cannot abide that 30% of the world's women and girls live in fear of violence, of speaking out, or of the reactions of those around them. And all this is in the face of the widespread apathy from most of society." UN Women says domestic violence shot up by 30% in many countries during the widespread lockdowns put in place earlier this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. However, a recent study says data from 30 countries indicates that only 1% of abused women have ever sought professional help. Mr. Loy says Manos Unidas finds itself working on various fronts in developing nations because domestic violence is not limited to the physical kind nor only to the household. Education carried out by the NGO, he pointed out, aims to deal with those religious or cultural customs that physically harm women or make them invisible or exclude them. One Manos Unidas partner offered an example from Sierra Leone, where women and girls are subdued into silence and economic privation. Father Peter Conte, director of Caritas Freetown, said they are so often subjected to rape that the Prime Minister declared the situation a national emergency in 2018. Thanks to the help of Manos Unidas, Father Conte said the local Caritas outfit was able to make inroads in combating the culture of silence which kept victims from going to the authorities. Now, he noted, women, girls, and families are willing to talk openly about abuse and the guilty parties are brought to justice. Father Conte said the project's biggest success was making many people in Sierra Leone aware of the horrors of violence against women. One great victory, he said, is knowing that the project is warning potential abusers and thus protecting women and girls from further abuse. I'm Devin Watkins.
And finally, this Saturday, Pope Francis will create 13 new cardinals in a consistory. It'll take place in St. Peter's Basilica and will be followed on Sunday morning by Holy Mass, con-celebrated by the Pope and the new members of the College of Cardinals. Tradition, symbolism and significance of the ceremony remain intact, but as Linda Bordoni reports, nothing is as it was in times of the pandemic.
Coronavirus will not stop the consistory, but it will change its modus operandi. For the first time in history, on the 28th of November 2020, not all the cardinals designate, chosen by Pope Francis, will be present in person to receive their red hats. Matteo Bruni, the director of the Holy See Press Office, told journalists that cardinal designates Cornelius Sim, the apostolic vicar of Brunei, and Jose Advincula of Capiz in the Philippines, will not be able to attend the consistory in the Vatican because of travel restrictions related to the coronavirus pandemic. They will instead join the celebration, participating remotely from their diocese through a digital platform that will allow them to connect with St. Peter's Basilica. Bruni also said that a representative of Pope Francis would present them with the red hat, the biretta, the cardinal's ring, and title connected with a Roman parish at a time to be decided later. He added that existing members of the College of Cardinals who are unable to travel to Rome for the consistory would be able to follow the ceremony via live stream. The ordinary public consistory for the creation of new cardinals will take place on Saturday afternoon at the altar of the chair in St. Peter's Basilica with a limited congregation. Each new cardinal will only be allowed to bring a few guests or family members. What's more, they will not follow the custom of receiving well wishes in the Apostolic Palace and in the Paul VI Hall after the ceremony. The consistory that was announced by the Pope on the 25th of October will go down in history as the first to incorporate digital technology at the dawn of what is increasingly looking like a new world. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks goes to Vincenzo Proto in the studio in the Vatican. Thank you for joining us.